Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary. Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there. You are listening to The Alt in Our Stars. That is the name of the podcast. My name is Chris Payne. I'm a correspondent here at Billboard.com. And today on The Alt in Our Stars, we have a guest called The Early November. They are a great rock band from New Jersey that's been around for over 10 years now. And they were a band that I was quite a big fan of since my high school days when I was first getting into independent sort of rock music, especially stuff of the emo persuasion, the emo and pop punk stuff. That was quite big where I grew up in New Jersey. So I came at this interview definitely, part of me, as a fam, and also as a journalist, being very, very impressed by the new music that the Early November put out. They're the sort of band that never really got too wrapped up in the whole Warped Tour emo scene, even though they were kind of a part of it. They never really gave into its cliches, so they never got huge, but in saying true, I think they really got themselves a loyal fan base that's helping them today in phase two of their lifespan, because they were on hiatus from 2007 to 2011, and they seem pretty well adjusted for it, talking to these guys. You know, it's kind of cliche sometimes to call reunited band stuff their best work to date, but to be honest, with this track, Narrow Mouth, their new single, which we talk about a good amount in the podcast, and I'll play a little bit of it, I really do think it hits harder than stuff they've done in the past. So Ace Enders, Josh, and Bill from the band were by for the podcast. That's about all to say in introduction, I think. So here it is, my interview with the Early November. Hope you enjoy it. So we are here in Billboard's Manhattan studios with the Early November. We got Ace here.
Yes, sir.
We got Joe.
Hello.
And we got Bill.
That is me.
Three guitarists.
That's right.
Three guitar attack.
That's a trio.
Right. Lots of shredding all day.
There's some shredding on the new Early November album.
Not for me. Yeah. Don't,
Who's the biggest shredder in the band?
Big Bill.
Ace. Over here. I would say it's Ace.
Bill can shred. I can only shred on recordings. Mm-hmm. You know, I need to use the studio magic. Bill can just shred in regular life.
Only if I've had chocolate within the past 24 hours. So I'm fueled.
Chocolate is vital
chocolate
to his shred.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have a hard time with most chords, so I'm not shredding. I'm daintily strumming.
The intricate parts.
I wouldn't say daintily.
Yeah, not daintily either. There's no finesse. I'm just wailing away on that thing, plugging away.
So this is a new album that we're talking about. It's called Imbue.
Yeah.
And it's out May 12th on Rise Records. So we're in new album talking mode. So have you guys done a lot of press, a lot of talking about the album yet?
We're actually just getting started right now. You're one of the first.
Okay, so we're going to set the tone for this.
Yeah, oh yeah, set the pace right here.
So you guys broke up in 2007 and reformed in 2011 and signed to Rise, released a new album in 2012. So this is kind of like phase two, 2.0 for the Early November.
Right.
Yeah, so how does phase two feel? Better
phase
than the first?
It feels good because, I mean, you to have something, to build it, and then to sort of lose it and erase, you know, everything that you have and start over and then realize, like, hey, you know, what we actually had and what we can have, is it makes you a lot smarter and whatnot, because we were really dumb in the first phase.
Yeah, phase one was in beta most of the time, and it was still pretty buggy.
Still in testing for
and
a lot of it.
Now we're ready. We're ready. We launched. We were ready for launch, and we launched.
Yeah.
2.0.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how old were you guys when you started phase one?
we got signed as most of us were teenagers. I had turned 20 right as soon as I signed the contract, or turned 19 right as soon as I signed the contract.
Yeah, so when Ace and I are pretty much the same age, so it was 19, 18, and then another 18-year-old and a 17-year-old. Yeah. Jeff was 17.
Yeah.
So, and Bill, you joined on a few years later, right?
Yeah, okay, I was 19 or 20.
But still, like, from reforming all the early November members now, you guys are all basically, like, I guess what you would call original members, all from phase one.
Yeah, yeah.
So was it tough at all, logistically, personally, getting the entire band back together on the same page for phase two?
Well, we're all together, but, like, for touring, it gets a little complicated because, I mean, we all have different careers paths aside from the band. So, I mean, we do this, and, I mean, our drummer also is a producer at NBC Philadelphia and does that. And, you know, it's like we do what we can on the touring, but when it comes to records, we're all available for it, you know?
Yeah.
So it was, at first, we a little bit of a learning curve, but I feel good about everything now.
And as you were saying, guys kind of older, wiser for phase two, so that probably helps smooth things out.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
It takes a little more planning, and I think now that once you get a little bit older, it's a little bit easier to plan because you're used to it, you know? Like, you have a schedule for the most part, or you plan out dinners or whatever maybe. So now we just plan out rehearsals. Well, yeah, like, you know, that. As like an adult, that. You plan yeah. things out.
Yeah.
Let's meet up on Friday.
But at the same time, your lives are probably in real life so much busier now than when you were 18 years old, when Absolutely. You had a hard time planning, when it was probably more just like hangouts, going to see other bands, going to the mall.
You know, hanging out is not easy. It is tough.
It takes a lot of planning to get a good hangout.
Mm-hmm. You're telling me, man. Especially
being
awkward like us.
You gotta drive everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so now we just plan our hangouts to also rehearse.
Right, right.
We just gotta be more efficient.
Productive hangouts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, so with the early November in phase two, you guys still really haven't lost sight of phase one. You know, you played a 10-year anniversary show for The Room's Too Cold. And also, like, you're putting out new music, and I've heard the album. I think it's fantastic. My favorite is Narrow Mouth. Like, it probably was your favorite, too, because you chose to share that one first.
Right.
We were happy to premiere that, and we think it's awesome. But as a band that's also, like, hyping still, you know, playing like The Room's Too Cold in its entirety, is it at all tough to get the old fans like all on the same page with the new music?
I don't know. I don't think so. I feel like our last album that we released, In Currents, was received very well. Like, we had, I mean, they sing those words as loud as they sing the other ones at this point. So I feel like we're all pretty much on the same page.
Yeah, you know? That's awesome. I feel like that's really big because just the way fans are kind of trained for whatever band, I think a lot of bands, and also from the era that you guys came from, will reunite but really just make it a nostalgia thing and like just play the old songs.
Right.
So I can see how it probably is. It takes a lot and writing really good music to get them on board with the new stuff.
Yeah, we've been, I think, pretty lucky so far. And I think it's, we hear a lot of people being like, oh, you were, you know, one of our favorite bands in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we've kind of grown with you, and we were so excited that you came back, and now we have, you know, I met my wife at one of your shows. Like, we hear a lot of that. I'm sure a lot of bands do, the older they get, but I think that maybe has something to do with the fact that they have more or less, like, kind of grown with us and are more accepting to if we want to change a little bit, but because we also make a very conscious effort to not turn our backs on what we did in the past. Like, we'll play anything from our catalog. We're not ashamed, or we're not too far removed from it, but we also want to service ourselves as a band and continue to move forward. So it's all about like the balance of old and new and making sure everyone's being represented.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need.
Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so this fantastic new song, Narrow Mouth, that we're talking about. Let's play a little sample of it. You gotta get something right. To talk a little bit more about Narrow Mouth. Like a lot of, I think most of the early November's catalog is like heavier, kind of intense, like serious sort of music. And this fits that, at least the way I viewed it. So like, Ace, take me through as much as you want to share, like what the lyrics mean to you, especially like, we live through the narrow space between our eyes, and the refrain was kind of what stuck with me.
Right. I mean, it means like, I think for me, the song means a lot of different things, but it's like trying to see. I'm going to try and back up here and explain. Like, for me, being in the music business for as long as I have, like, it does weird things to you, you know, growing up in it. I've grown up since a teenager. I've been doing this for, this is my life. And a lot of the album is about that and decisions and choices. And, you know, it's like in music, one thing is cool for a minute and then it's not for the next. Everybody knows that. But, like, for me, like, you can get caught in that very narrow window that you give yourself to do anything, and sort of that's sort of what it means to me, and like being looking at your career as, I don't know, I'm gonna start to sound really confusing about myself now, but you know, it's pretty much about that. You know what I'm saying, Joe Morrow?
I do.
Help me out here.
Well,
yeah, I know it's hard to help. Yeah, I know it's not possible, but yeah, I mean, that pretty much means what it says. And for me, it comes from a very real place of just struggling with the limitations maybe that I set myself up with when I first started and where I am right now, and that struggle. And not to get like sound depressing or like I'm not extremely thrilled with everything, but that's where it's at.
Yeah, and like what you're touching on, I feel that, because even though the early November has progressed over 10 plus years, you've never been a band that's made any like wholesale changes or chased any trends. And in the, like, forgive me for saying scene, but I feel like that's a good way of showing it. Like, in the scene that you guys come from, there has been a lot of trend chasing during that time that you guys have been together.
Yeah.
Like going to Warped Tour and Bamboozle over the years back when Early November was a band in the first phase, I saw it kind of progress more and more from where it started to kind of like a hair metal-y, more poppy, scenester kind of vibe. So things moved and progressed, but Early November, they kind of stayed the course.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that in the past, that may have been like a disservice, because we could have been bigger if we would have done this, or if we would have done, you know, sounded a little bit more like what was happening at the time. But now, looking back on it, it's done us a service and a favor by having just done what we've done, and you make real fans that way who aren't just, you know, fair weather or just, you know, kids chasing a trend. And it's been good because it allows us to change and allows people to grow with us, because they expect more or less change from us every record because we've been doing that. So it gives us a little more leniency, I think, with our records.
Yeah, and now in phase two of the Early November, it seems like there's probably a good amount of bands out there who would call you an influence.
It's always nice to hear that.
Yeah.
When a band that we dig is like, well, I'll see a band and they'll be like, oh, we love Early November. It's like, oh, cool, because I like your band. So that's nice to have anything to do with the band or any bands that are moving forward and kind of carrying that flag a little bit. It's nice.
Yeah, and some of the bands you're touring with coming up, like You Blew It, Restorations, Great Big Pile of Leaves, they seem like the bands that would fit in that progression of what Early November fans would maybe make as they became musicians, as they grew up.
Yeah, I think it's all conscious. We like to tour with the bands that, just people that we would like to hang out with for the most part, but also make music that we can get behind. And it's nice to, whether they were influenced or not, just at some point, you know, we may have done something that led to something that, you know, helped them or want, you know, inspire them to get started, which is nice.
Yeah, totally. And like those bands, a lot of the stuff on Top Shelf Records now, like, I think there's a lot of bands that exist now as sort of a reflection of sort of bands like you guys saying the chorus and not jumping on trends, because what exists of that sort of music now is stuff that wasn't hopping trends, you know, the stuff that's sort of been like true to the bands I'm sure influenced you guys, like the Get Up Kids and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I said that because I just saw the Get Up Kids over the weekend in Asbury Park.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think that's, you know, it's a compliment really to have to be from the time that we came from, which we were influenced by, you know, the Get Up Kids and the Promise Ring and Jets to Brazil and like that era of music, which didn't really, it got big, but then things got even bigger from bands that were influenced by them, like Fall Out Boy and My Chem, and those bands got even bigger than those bands. And we were certainly influenced by the ones that came before us and just tried to keep, you know, carry that flag or keep that, those ethos alive. And to see a band that's now come many generation or, you know, a generation or two after us with the same ethos is nice, just to know that that's still sustainable and can still be done in 2015 or whatever in a label like Top Shelf to be able to, you know, be successful with carrying that flag is just a nice thing to know.
Yeah, and the label you guys are on, Rise, they carry the flag also pretty well. So probably the label support is big for you guys. It's probably kind of a breath of fresh air from phase one, right?
Rise has been awesome. They just let us, they more or less let us do whatever we want, which is great, because they come at it from being fans of the band. Like our buddy Matthew, who works there, was a fan of the band, went to our shows, we toured with his old band.
Yeah,
well, he probably won't want us to say that.
Yeah, but what was his band?
He might get mad.
But it doesn't matter. It's out there.
Yeah.
What were they called?
Roses Are Red.
Roses Are Red.
Oh, I remember that band.
Yeah. So Matthew was in that band, and we did some shows with them, and he then got on to, you know, do amazing things behind the scenes, and it just was like a perfect fit to like sign with our bud, who's works at a great label, who's gonna more or less just fund us to do whatever we want, which is great, and they just trust us enough because of the track record to kind of say, go make whatever record you want, any way you want, and we'll put it out when it's ready. So that's been really nice of them.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, and when you say do whatever you want, go into detail more with that. Aside from just putting out a record, what does that entail? What comes with that freedom?
I use half the money and invested it in artificial intelligence.
That's what Bill always does.
No, but Ace records.
Growing field.
It's Ace will record and produce everything, which is sometimes like a band, you know, the label will want to get involved on who's producing because they want to make, you know, get a name behind it that they feel can take the band to whatever level it may be. And it's like Ace can do that with his own band. He's done that with other bands. So it's like there's no questions asked here. Record it at your own speed, at your own studio, and just let us know when it's done.
Yeah.
Right. That's Ace, awesome. I was going to ask you about the recording. You still produce other bands, right?
Uh-huh.
So what have you been up to lately?
With other bands?
Yeah, just producing.
Yeah, just busy all the time, trying to keep, like, you know, between this and that, I've been a lot recently been focused on mainly the early November stuff. So, like, after I finished up that album, it's just been, like, getting ready to do everything that we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But staying busy all the time, either working on this or working with bands or writing or whatever. So.
Yeah, and you do songwriting for other genres, huh?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Tell me about that, because I did not know that until I was just reading up not too long ago.
It's like you learn, like I was saying, in the music business, like you learn to wear a lot of different hats. Like Joe does a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. I write for other artists, other types of music, like pop and stuff like that, and or whatever it may be, mm-hmm. and then produce and also have the band, so. Got to do all those things to keep everything going and to not go crazy.
Yeah. And Joe, you manage bands, right?
I do, yeah.
You Blew It, who are touring with you guys.
We are, yeah.
Yeah,
I manage You Blew It, Foxing, Alison Weiss, Young Statues, a band called Dry Jacket. So I think it was just like Ace was always like our the creative dude, you know, like steering the ship. And I was always the kind of guy being like, thanks for giving us this great music. I'll settle the shows, or I'll talk to the people who book the shows, or whatever it may be. So it's just like the natural progression from when the band had that lull, or, you know, that hiatus. It's like, this is all I really know, and it's what I love the most. So how can I stay involved more so? So just kind of jumped into that blindly, but it's been going pretty well so far.
Well, yeah, I think to be successful to a certain extent, a band needs to have a guy like that who's going to, like, do the business side of things, not be like, oh, we don't do that, to embrace that. It's like, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's something that I see with a lot of bands. I always see, like, oh, there's the guy that I see myself in, and there's the guy who's was my ace, and that's his ace, you know? It's always, it's just funny to see how that, no matter what band it is, you see a lot of similarities and common, you know, denominators between the bands and the generations.
Yeah. And Bill, aside from shredding and artificial intelligence investment, what guy are you in the band?
You know, I drive the van.
Utility guy.
Yeah.
Utility. Yeah, sure.
Bill's That's how he started. He was our guitar tech.
He's the executor.
Good one.
Yeah. I'm like the, you know, most of the time I'm kept on a chain in the van. And when something needs to be taken care of, they release me and I bark at people.
Bill, there's some shifty characters coming up. Go bark at him.
Oh, God, we better let Bill off the leash.
No, but I think out of the current van we own has, what, 300?
Almost 300,000
miles. Almost 300,000 miles. Mm. Bill's driven, like, 250,000. No, Ace
and Yeah, Ace has driven a lot.
But Bill's driven, say we've driven 1,000,000 miles in our career. Bill's driven, like, 800,000.
There was a good at least 3-year chunk where Bill drove every single drive and would, everything. Like, you know, then get out and load and then get out and set up the stage and make sure everybody's stuff works right and work on everything. He's the workhorse when it comes down to it. He's also extremely, you know, good at
Nearly anything.
Climbing. He can climb a building.
Dodging questions.
So there you go. Those are three very essential elements that a band needs to get from point A to point B to do band things. I don't know what the other two guys in your band do, but that seems like everything.
Comedic relief.
Yeah.
Sex appeal. We got them all.
Yeah. Wow, that covers it. Well done.
So finally, one thing I want to end on. I had a Andrew McMahon for a podcast a couple weeks ago, and I asked him the same question. There's so many drive-through records alumni out there doing great things now. Like, aside from you guys, for instance, there's like Jack Antonoff, who's gotten big with Fun and with Bleachers. Yeah,
never heard him.
Yeah, and Gabe from Midtown with tons of hits with Cobra Starship. So like, there's a nice field of alumni out there after kind of graduating and going your separate ways. So like, how many of these guys out there have you kept in touch with, and what's that been like?
I would say I kept in pretty good touch with Jack up until just, you know, recent, once they started, you know, everything happening with Fun. It just got so busy and crazy. And then I see Andrew every once in a while.
We see Kenny Vasoli a lot from Vacationer and Starting Line. Who else do we see?
We saw Gabe at
Saw Gabe not that last year, this spring last year at the Skate and Surf.
Still see Buddy.
Buddy Nielsen. Yeah. I talked to Buddy yesterday, actually.
Oh, really? How's he doing?
Really good. Yeah, he'll be around here soon. I think he's DJing in like Brooklyn soon.
Nice.
Drive-Thru, phenomenal A&R people would just find talent from people who were so young, who would, like, you know, no matter what label they're associated with later, we're bound to do some great things just because they were really, really great at finding young talent. Some of these kids were, like, Kenny was 15 when they signed.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know, it's just a matter of going through all the ebbs and flows of an artist's career. So,
crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, most of them weren't even really from big cities or obvious places, though. These are just people from towns in Jersey or towns in Pennsylvania somewhere, a little bit of Chicago and outside LA.
Which makes it crazy to think how they find it, because now you can go on Bandcamp or SoundCloud or whatever, or Facebook.
It's so easy.
And like, a lot of them was like bands who they had signed already. Like, the story is Midtown got Newfound Glory signed because he had like the demo or whatever. And
then they got
Dashboard.
Then they got Dashboard, yeah. So it's probably a lot of like domino effect like that. We came out of nowhere and just sent them a demo.
It was Jen kept reaching out to him and talking to him on Instant Messenger. That's what did it for us.
So it was just a cold pitch demo that started everything?
It was like a bunch of bugging him. He didn't really listen to the demo until we met in person. He let us meet in person first. Mm-hmm. And like he liked the I think he heard a piece of the demo or something on mp3.com or whatever. And then he just wanted to help us out. They were very good at that. And, yeah.
I think it was Stephanie that drove the actual signing of it.
Yeah.
Sister.
Yeah, because I still remember when you guys closed your last show in the first phase at Bamboozle, when you played Every Night's a Story, you were like, well, this is the song that got us signed, and we're going to close with it.
Yeah.
So that was it.
I remember saying that.
Yeah.
That was a wild show.
Yep.
Yeah, so that was... kind of how we started. There was like this VHS tape and everything.
Yep.
That was like the band hanging out at diners.
Yeah, I think I've seen some of that.
Yeah, it was on like some of the drive-thru DVDs.
And there's like members of, I think, Hidden in Plain View were there too. Mm-hmm. It's funny how they thought that would be great content to put on a DVD.
Yeah.
Just get the band to hang out at a diner somewhere in Jersey.
Yeah. They had cameras all around at that time.
We did that ourselves.
No, the other one too. We're at Danny's or whatever.
Oh, cool. View. Yeah. There were cameras they had.
Yeah, cameras were everywhere back then. There's a lot of stuff people will never say. Things got a little
hopefully
weird. Yeah.
Well, phase one was definitely a lot of fun, and yeah, best of luck, guys, with phase two. It sounds great so far.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Cool. Thanks. Yeah, thanks so much for coming out. So there you go. That concludes another episode of the Alt in Our Stars podcast. Remember to check back every Friday as a new episode runs that day of the week, each and every week on Billboard.com. Also, you can click the iTunes link towards the bottom of the story. That way you can subscribe to the podcast and also listen to past episodes archived. We've got plenty of good stuff in there. Pete Wentz, that was the first episode. Andrew McMahon from a few weeks ago, another drive-thru artist, Screaming Females, Waxahachie, lots of good stuff there, so check that out. Until next week, have a good week, everybody.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.